by companions. Rather, the companions, they know the book, but they heard from the Messenger of Allah, they can go the whole thing, completely. Convey the fully, everything they've heard, and they convey the faithfully and truly. And Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that this type of attack here, that is the way of the people of innovation. Those who wish evil for Islam, this is the way they always use. So they can't directly attack the sources of Islam, the book and the Sunnah, so they do it by indirect means. But they attack those who conveyed the book and the Sunnah to us, the companions of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. They accuse them of deficiency and the like. And their intention is to remove them so that our link to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the religion which he and his companion, which he was upon, which he brought from his Lord, that link is cut off. So then these later comers, they can introduce whatever they wish in the name of Islam and distort the religion within their distorted and false version of Islam by causing us to doubt the companions, to doubt what they can do. So rather, the people of the Sunnah, they have full trust in the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, they are people chosen by Allah. Allah is the one who chose them to be companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is the one who chose them for that role of conveying the deen from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who claims anything different from their claim is rejected as not giving any attention. Likewise, there is the point that there is to be no analogy in matters of aqidah. Aqidah is a matter of submission to what occurs in the book and Sunnah. No room, no scope for making an analogy for this, for that, and therefore this should be left. No scope for analogy in matters of aqidah. Likewise, desires are not solid. The person tries to see what fits and suits his desires, and the view he holds out of his belief, there's no scope for that. And the Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the way of the people of innovation. That they call their thing their desires, and they want to do that. They believe what's important to their desires, and reject every something that. And that is why the people of innovation, Abu Bidah, why they are called by the scholars, Abu Bidah, the people of desires. So what they are in reality doing is following desires. Rather, there is just acceptance and affirming narrations from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Masr al-Aqidah, Masr Allah's names and attributes. Without asking how that can be, how can that be the case, how is it? And without without explanation. Was that said, meaning, without giving a false explanation to the attributes of Allah, the Most High. As was done by the Imam al-Bukhari, mentioned this point is the reputation of the deviant sects, the Jahmiyya, and the Mu'tazila, and the Ash'ariyya, the Ash'aris, and their like. Those who give false explanation to Allah's names and attributes. Now this explanation, false explanation, is what is denied here. It doesn't mean that we don't give any, we don't give the correct explanation to Allah's attributes. And it's not correct. Rather, giving the correct meaning to Allah's names and his attributes, that is the correct way. Then, the Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, continues. What occurs here is point number 10, in the translation it occurs at point number 12. It occurs on page 192 of the two volumes of the edition. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, al-Kalam, al-Khusumatu, wal-Jidaru, wal-Miradu, wahda. يقدح الشك في القلب وإن أصاب صاحبهم حق السنة. So kalam, theological rhetoric,
arguing, debating and disputing on newly introduced affairs, they cast doubt into the heart, even if the person happens to attain the truth and the sunnah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in his explanation, these matters Al-Kalam, theological rhetoric, and Al-Jidal, debating, and Al-Khusumat, disputing, which occurred between all of the sects. These are newly introduced matters. And the reason for them is the following of desires. And whoever is such that his desires follow that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, then he will not have doubt, and he will not be a person of disputing, nor arguing, nor quarrelling, because he is one who submits and complies. Is Musallim Munqad, is a person who submits and complies. So there's no need for all that other business. Sheikh Fawzan said, quoting his evidence, "He the Most High said, 'فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ'" Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 38. With the explanation. So if guidance comes to you from me, then whoever follows my guidance, then there will be no fear upon them, and they will not grieve. And Shaykh Fawzan quotes a second evidence. فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 123. فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى With the explanation, so whoever follows my guidance, then he will not go astray, and he will not be wretched. Shaykh Fawzan said, so the matter is a question of following, ittiba, and inqiyad, complying, and taslim, submitting to the command of Allah and His Messenger. Without jidal, without debating, and without mukhasamat, without argumentation. And the people of misguidance did not fall into argumentation and debates, except on account of the fact that they did not submit to Allah and to His Messenger in the way that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, rahimakumullah, in the way that the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah submitted. That's why they fell, people of misguidance, that's why they fell into these affairs, arguments and debates. Because they didn't submit to the command of Allah and the command of His Messenger, as the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah submitted. He said, and therefore you will find the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and all praise is for Allah, united, with no difference between them in the matter of aqeedah, creed and belief. Rather, disagreement is found with the misguided sects. Disagreement in matters of aqeedah, creed and belief, where will you find that? With the deviant sects, that's where you'll find it. Shaykh Fawzan said, He the Most High said, وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, Ayah 137. With the explanation, so if they turn away, then they are the ones who will have split away and opposed. They are the ones who will be in schism. They are the ones who have split away and opposed. So Allah will suffice you against them. And He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and the confirmation of this occurs in another ayah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, 153. The explanation, and do not follow the other paths, for they will cause you to split away and separate from his path. This he has commanded you with, so that you may be dutiful to him. Then Shaykh Fawzan moves on to the next statement and said, وَإِنْ أَصَابَ He's saying, وَإِنْ أَصَابَ صَاحِبُهُ الْحَقِّ وَالسُّنَّةِ So I've just said that these things, theological rhetoric, arguing, debating, disputing, are all newly invented, newly introduced affairs. They cast doubt into the heart. Even if the person, even if the person involved in them, happens to attain the truth in the Sunnah. Shaykh Fawzan said, even if the person happens to attain the truth and the Sunnah. He said, meaning, he is still in error. He will still be in error. Because he has attained it, he has attained these two, the truth and the Sunnah, through other than the correct path. I mean, the result he came to might be correct, but the path he took was wrong. The way he got there was wrong. And he just happened to come across to what is correct in the end. Just happened to. So the Shaykh said he will still be in error because he came across them through other than the correct path. Because the correct path is at taslim, submission, and not delving and debating and arguing, which just causes the hearts to become bitter and produces grudges. And it also brings about something worse than that, which is at takfir, people declaring others to be disbelievers. Because they're misguided sects, they declare each other to be disbelievers. And they declare each other to be misguided. Shaykh Fawzan quoted the ayah, Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th surah, ayah 32. The explanation, every sect rejoicing at what they themselves are upon. Shaykh Fawzan said, everyone thinking that what he is upon is what is correct. Every single sect, we're upon this, therefore it must be the truth. Every single one of them, all the disputing sects, the deviant sects, all of them, claiming that they are upon the truth. As the Shaykh said, every one of them, thinking that what he is upon, it is the truth. As for the Ahl of Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah, and the united body upon the truth, who submitted to the command and complied, then disagreements did not occur between them, and all praise is for Allah. And they do not declare each other to be disbelievers. And they do not declare each other to be misguided. Rather, they praise each other. And some of them follow others. Each of them follows the others. Because they are upon a correct path. Indeed, hatred and grudges and declarations of others being disbelievers and being misguided only come about. This only comes about on account of contradicting the truth and taking hold of opinions and ideas. And there is no doubt that everyone wants to defend his own opinion. So he will not accept that it be said to him, you are wrong. For this will mean that you are accusing his intellect. If it's a matter of opinions, people take in opinions, and you say he's wrong, and the Shaykh said, how will he take that? You say he's wrong. He will take it that you're accusing his intellect of being deficient, and he will not be pleased with this. However, if you say to a person of truth, when he has made a mistake, you have erred with regard to the evidence. I mean, you've missed out on what is correct. You've missed out on the evidence in this matter. You've erred with regard to the evidence in this matter. If you say that to a person of the truth, you have missed out. You say to him, you have missed out on the sunnah. Then he will accept it. Because his intention is the truth. As opposed to the first person. First person upon deviation, his only intention is supporting his own opinion. And he won't accept you accusing it, accusing his opinion, his intellect. Whereas the person whose intent is the truth, the person upon the truth, you point out to him where he's gone wrong, as the Sheikh said, he will accept it. Because his intent is the truth. And his intent is not just to support his own opinion. So if you say, oh so-and-so, you have missed the sunnah. You've missed out on the sunnah. You've missed out on the evidence, the correct evidence. Then he will accept and return. But if you say to a person who is a follower of desires, you are in error, then he will become angry and become worse. And this is the sign of the people of desires. That everyone just wants to aid and support his own desire, that which he desires. But as for the person of the truth, then what he wants is that the truth should be aided. And he seeks after the truth. He seeks after the truth. And the wise word is the lost property of the believer. Wherever he finds it, he takes hold of it. Then there is the quote which I was thinking of mentioning last week from Sheikh Ahmad. Whoever wishes, they can refer. He has a nice quote here, and he quotes the famous saying of Imam Malik in that regard. But so not to make it too long, I'll leave it, inshallah. On his explanation, page 58 to 59, he has some points there. Then with regard to the continuation, point number 11, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّ الْكَلَامَ فِي الرَّبِّ تَعَالَى مُحْدَثٌ وَهُوَ بِدْعَةٌ وَضَلَالَةٌ وَلَا يُتَكَلَّمُ فِي الرَّبِّ إِلَّا بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَمَا بَيَّنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ فَهُوَ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ وَاحِدٌ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. رَبُّنَا أَوَّلٌ بِلَا مَتَى وَآخِرٌ بِلَا مُنْتَهَى يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى وَهُوَ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ اسْتَوَى وَعِلْمُهُ بِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَلَا يَخْلُو مِنْ عِلْمِهِ مَكَانٌ. The saying of Imam rahimahullah, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that speculative speech, kalam, about the Lord, the Most High, is a newly introduced matter, and it is an innovation and misguidance. Nothing is to be said about the Lord, except what He, the Mighty and Majestic, described Himself with in the Qur'an, and what the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explained to his companions. So he, the Majestic in renown, is one. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. The ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, ayah 11, with the explanation. There is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Our Lord is the first, without any when, and the last, without any end. He knows whatever is secret and whatever is most hidden. He has ascended over his throne, and his knowledge is in every place, and no place is free of his knowledge. Sheikh Fawzan said, hafidhullah, in explanation, his saying, أَنَّ الْكَلَامَ فِي الرَّبِّ تَعَالَى مُحْدَثٌ وَهُوَ بِدْعَةٌ وَضَلَالَةٌ. His saying, speech, kalam, rhetorical theology, or theological rhetoric, with regard to the Lord, the Most High, is something new, a newly introduced matter, and it is an innovation and misguidance. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, speech with regard to the self of the Lord, the Perfect and Most High. Kalam, theological rhetoric. With regard to the self of the Lord, the Perfect and Most High, and with regard to his names and his attributes, is a newly introduced affair. It was introduced by the people of misguidance. Those who do not submit to the texts and who do not have fear of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So therefore they speak about the self of the Lord, and they speak about his names and his attributes, and they deny and they negate that which Allah affirmed for himself, or that which his messenger affirmed for him. And they bring opinions from themselves, and they say, this is what is correct. They speak in explanation of the texts with other than their correct explanation. Or they say, we don't understand them. I mean, these texts about Allah's attributes, either they do the first one, they give them false interpretation, false explanations from themselves. Or the second course of action with them, or they say, we don't understand them. They say, we leave and entrust them to Allah. We don't understand these texts at all. We just leave and entrust them to Allah. We just read the word and we leave it to Allah. We don't understand it. Sheikh said, and the speech of Allah and the speech of his messenger becomes just like foreign speech, non-Arabic speech, which the Arabs do not understand. Upon the saying of these mufawwidah, I would say the texts of the attributes, we don't understand the meaning. We don't know what they mean. So in other words, those texts, they're just the same as foreign speech. It could be any language. It's just the same. We don't understand the meaning at all. Sheikh Fawzan said, so what is obligatory upon the Muslims is that they continue upon the correct path, upon the way of the Salaf, and that they do not give any attention to those people who mislead others. Don't give any attention to those people who mislead others. I mean, the people, like of these people, with these two courses here. Those who speak about the texts, of Allah's attributes, and give them false meanings from themselves. Or the second ones who say, we don't understand the meaning of them. What is obligatory, the Sheikh said, upon the Muslims, is that they continue upon the correct path, and upon the way of the Salaf, and that they do not give any attention to those people who mislead other people. Those who argue about Allah without any proof which he has given them. They dispute about the Quran and they dispute about the Sunnah. Their affair is just argumentation. So it is obligatory to beware of those people. Those people are not muttabi'een. They are not people who are followers of the Sunnah, followers of the truth. Rather, they are innovators who are just following their desires. As a side point here, then Sheikh Fawzan moves on to the next phrase. As a side point here, then Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, he said on this point here, he said, meaning by that speech, that kalam, that speech, the negation here of al-kalam, theological rhetoric, Sheikh al-Suhaimi said, meaning by that, the kalam, the speech, which was introduced by the Jahmiyyah with regard to delving into speaking about the attributes of Allah without knowledge. But as for describing, giving as an attribute that which Allah described himself with, or which his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described him with, then this is something required. This is something required. And we shouldn't understand from this point, we don't speak about our Lord, we don't speak about his attributes, even with the truth, in what the scholars have mentioned and what the Salaf have mentioned. No, that is not what is being meant here. Rather, the speech that's being spoken against is a speech introduced by the Jahmiyyah, the theological rhetoric, speech based upon opinions and desires, not upon text. Then Sheikh Fawzan moves on to the next phrase. He's saying, وَلَا يُتَكَلَّمُ فِي الرَّبِّ إِلَّا بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And nothing is to be said about the Lord except that which He described Himself with. He the Mighty and Majestic in the Qur'an. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, having forbidden jidal, argumentation about Allah the Mighty and Majestic, and khusumat, and arguments, debates about the names of Allah and His attributes, having forbidden these, he now explains what is obligatory. They're forbidden, that's it, forbidden, these matters of aqidah and the like, and debates and arguing, argumentation, that is forbidden. So now the author, he explains what is obligatory. The Shaykh said, and it is that we affirm the Quran and the Sunnah just as they came, upon their meaning, the meaning taken from the language, the Arabic language, with which the Quran and the Sunnah came down. And Shaykh al-Fawzan gives some examples from the attributes of Allah the Most High. He says, so al-ilm, knowledge, its meaning is well known in the language. Contrary to both of these other ways of the people, contrary to the way of those who give false meanings, and contrary to the way of those who say we don't know the meaning of any of these attributes, they're just words that we don't know the meaning of them. So the Shaykh said, contrary to both those ways, he said, so al-ilm, knowledge, referring to the knowledge that is the attribute of Allah the Most High, he said, so knowledge, ilm, al-ilm, its meaning is well known in the language. Likewise, al-wajh, the face, is well known. And al-ayn, eyes. And al-yad, hands. And al-istiwa, ascending. And al-ulu, being high above. All of these and their like, their meaning is well known in the Arabic language in which the Quran came down. Whereas the people of misguidance, they say, this speech, I mean, they say when they come to the ayahs or the hadith of the attributes of Allah the Most High, what they say is, this is their phrase, لَيْسَ هَذَا الْكَلَامُ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِ. They say, this speech is not in accordance with what is apparent from it. It's not upon its zahir. We can't take it in accordance with what's apparent from it. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and then they divide into two categories. And they're both upon that, an ayah or a hadith about an attribute of Allah the Most High. That's what they say. We can't take it in accordance with what is apparent from it, upon its zahir. We can't do that. Then they divide. What they do next, their next step, they divide into two categories. A category who say, نتوقف, we stop and withhold. And we say, what is apparent, the zahir, what is apparent, is not what is meant. But then we do not understand what is actually meant by it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and they are the mufawwida, the people of tafweed. And both these groups are rampant these days. It's not some sect that's disappeared in the past. Both these are rampant these days. You find them all over the place. And the call of these people. Under different names and the like. But these beliefs, these ideas, all over the place. So the first category, so the first step they take, as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they say, when they come to an ayah or a hadith, mention attributes of Allah, the Most High, first thing that they say, no, what's zahir, what's apparent from it, is not what is meant. Rather, he said, the speech is not in accordance with what's apparent from it. And the second stage, they divide into two. First category of those who say, we withhold, and we say what is apparent, is not what is meant. But we do not actually understand what is meant. Shaykh said, they are the mufawwida. And a category, the second one, who are the mu'awwila, people of ta'wil, those who give false interpretations. Shaykh Fawzan said, and they are more in number. They are the majority. And the majority out of these two groups. More of them in the second category. They do ta'wil, they interpret with other than their correct meaning. And they interpret the attributes away. They say, this attribute, it means something different. This attribute means something different. So the first group say, what's apparent is not what is meant. We're sure it's not what is meant. What is meant, we don't know. We don't understand it. They are the Mufawwid, the people of Tafwid. The second group, the people of Ta'wil. The majority, they misinterpret. This attribute is something else. Allah's hand, it means something different. Allah's face, it means something different. Then the Shaykh said, so they went astray, and they lead others astray, and they preoccupy the people, and they fill up books with these debates and arguments and disputations which lead to nothing, which lead nowhere. So what is obligatory is at Taslim, is to submit to what occurs in the book, in the Quran and in the Sunnah with regard to the names of Allah and His attributes, as was meant by Allah and His Messenger. Because Allah knows best about Himself. He the Perfect and Most High. And He knows best about other than Himself. And the most knowledgeable one from the creation about Allah is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the points the Shaykh is making here, all of this being a refutation of both of these two groups, if you consider carefully these points, it's a refutation of what they say. And the one who is most knowledgeable from the creation of Allah is Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for us, then our knowledge falls short. We do not know many things. There are many things that we do not know related to our own selves, with regard to the details of our bodies, and the veins, and the senses. Many things that we don't know about, even about our own bodies, our veins and our senses. There are things which we do not know. Do you know the ruh? Do you know about the soul? What exactly is it? The intellect, what is it? If you do not know something from your own body, nor something about your own self, then how can you speak about the self of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, which is not known except to Him, He the Perfect? Shaykh Fawzan quotes the proof. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 110. With explanation, He, Allah, knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass Him with knowledge. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is outside what we know and outside what we can imagine. And no analogy can be made between Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and His creation. This would be a belittlement of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So He knows best about Himself and about other than Himself. And He is the one who is truest in saying and better in speech than His creation. As Shaykhul Islam, rahimahullah, said in Al-Wasitiyah. In a footnote they mention, you can refer, this occurs in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. All of this being a refutation of those people who go on to speak about Allah. They don't accept what's in the text with regard to Allah's attributes, and then they go on and affirm things from their own intellects about Allah. They reject what's in the text, and then they affirm from themselves. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَمَا بَيَّنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَصْحَابِهِ. And what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to his companions. Shaykh Fawzan said, the issue of the names and attributes, al-asma wa sifat, hinges upon the book and the sunnah. And their explanation is also in the book and the sunnah. And the language of the Arabs in which the legislation came down. And we do not go to the logic of Aristotle and Plato or so-and-so or such and such. in regard to names, Allah's names and attributes. That's like you see the people misguidance, that's what they do. They start quoting the logic of so-and-so. And these philosophers, they say this, and if you look at the philosophy of such-and-such, they're talking about Allah's names and attributes. Sheikh said, we don't do that. We do not go to the logic of Aristotle and Plato, or so-and-so, and such-and-such. This is a crime against the legislation of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And it is a case of replacing the revelation with logic and ilmul kalam, theological rhetoric. And what fruit did theological rhetoric and argumentation produce for those people with regard to misguidance and ruin and loss? And they did not reach any result. And this is by their own admission. And the Shaykh, he goes on to discuss some of the people of theological rhetoric kalam, from the Ash'a'ira, the heads of the Ash'aris and their like, how they ended up, how they ended up with their use of their intellect and theological rhetoric, and where they ended up. He said, they expended their whole lives in debating and disputations, and in the end they acknowledged that they did not reach any result. And if only they had just submitted to Allah and to His Messenger, they would have found relaxation. And therefore, one of them said, and then Sheikh al-Fawzan, he quotes three sayings from the heads of these people. He said, and therefore, there, one of them said, Nihayatu iqdami al-uquli iqalun. Nihayatu iqdami al-uquli iqalu. وَأَغْلَبُ سَعِيَ الْعَالَمِينَ ضَلَالُ وَأَرْوَاحُنَا فِي وَحْشَةٍ مِنْ جُسُومِنَا وَحَاصِرُ دُنْيَانَا أَذًا وَوَبَالُ وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طُولَ عُمْرِنَا إِلَّا أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِيهِ قِيلَ وَقَالُ. But one of them said, admitting, the result of using the intellects is just that the mind is tied in knots. And most of the striving of the people is just misguidance. And our spirits are forlorn as strangers within our bodies. And all the results that come about in this world for us are just harm and an evil climate. And we did not benefit from our studies for our whole lives, except that we just gathered qila wa qalu, they said and such said, meaning idle speech. We just gathered at the end of the day idle speech. This is what they admitted. These are the heads of them. In a footnote they mention these lines of poetry here, obviously an extremely rough translation. So these lines of poetry are by of Al-Fakhr al-Razi. You can refer to Dar ta'arud al-aql wa al-naql and Minhaj al-Sunnah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, one of the great heads, famous heads, Al-Fakhr al-Razi of Kalam. He admitted at the end of his life, this is where they ended up. It's all they ended up with. All their debating and all their use of logic and rhetoric and the like. That's how they ended up. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they came to a state of doubt and uncertainty. And as for those who submitted to Allah and to His Messenger, then they were saved and at peace from this. Then he quotes a second quote. He said, and the people of misguidance say also, La amri laqad tuftu al-ma'ahida kullaha wa sayyartu tarfi bayna tilka al-ma'alim falam ara illa wadi'an kaffa ha'irin ala dhiqnin aw qari'an sinna nadimi. That one of them said also, upon my life, I have gone around all of the institutions of learning, and I have looked upon all those places, and I did not see except one who was putting his palm upon his chin in confusion, or one who is striking his teeth in regret. These people of theological rhetoric, people of philosophy, people of use of the intellect in massive belief. And all the institutions like that, what do you come across except people who are in confusion, total confusion or regret? In a footnote, they mention these lines of poetry are by Ash-Shahristani, the author of the book Al-Milal wa-Nahl. And again, you can refer to Dar' Ta'arud al-Aql wa-Naql and Minhaj al-Sunnah, both of them of Shaykh al-Islam from Taymiyyah. Shaykh al-Fawzan comments and said he went round all the institutions, or he went round all the institutes of learning, institutes of kalam, theological rhetoric, and logic, and debating. And he looked at them, he looked amongst them, examined them, and did not find in them that which could remedy the need to know. And he said, he quotes the third quote, and again this is a quote, and there's mentioned a footnote from Ar-Razi, same as the first one, in his book An-Nubuwat, where you'll probably find it quoted from him in the book An-Nubuwat of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that Ar-Razi, that he said, one of them said, Shaykh al-Fawzan just left it without stating who said it, he said, I have carefully considered the different paths of theological rhetoric and the ways of the philosophers, and I did not see them remedying the sick, curing the one who has a need for knowledge, nor quenching the thirst of the person with extreme thirst. And I saw that the closest path was the way of the Qur'an. Read with regard to affirmation, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, Surah Fatir, the 35th Surah, Ayah 10. I with the explanation, so he said, so after spending a life in the like of that philosophy and rhetoric and the like, the end of his life, all just going through all those different ways, end of his life, he said, I found the closest, the best way, is just what's in the Quran. What I could have found out, could have opened the Mus'haf in the first place and got that. He said, read with regard to affirmation, with regard to affirmation of Allah's attributes, what is to be affirmed for him. No need for logic, no need for philosophy, rhetoric. He said, read with regard to affirmation, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, Surah Fatir, 35th Surah, Ayah 10. With the explanation, the good word ascends to him. الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 5. With the explanation, the most merciful ascended upon the throne. He said, and read with regard to negation, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, Ayah 11. With regard to negation, read this ayah then. With the explanation, there is nothing like him. And, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 11. With the explanation, and they do not encompass him with knowledge. The end of the quote from him. So as it occurred in the footnote, the end of the quote from Ar-Razi, one of the heads of them. And just to finish off with the last paragraph, Shaykh Razan said, and then we'll stop inshallah. He's saying, فَهُوَ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ وَاحِدٌ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, the saying of the Imam, so he, the majestic in renown, is one. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, with the explanation, there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh Fawzan said, he is the perfect, one. No one shares with him with regard to his self, nor with regard to his names and his attributes, nor with regard to his creating and his actions, nor with regard to his worship. There is no sharik, no sharer, no partner for him. So why therefore tire yourself out? You are makhluq and he is khaliq. You are a created being and he is the creator. How can the created being encompass knowledge of the Creator, the Majestic and Most High? So you, your role is just to submit to Allah and to His Messenger, and not to dispute, and not to argue, and not to tire yourself out, and to tire other people out. This is what is obligatory and binding. And therefore the companions, they did not engage themselves in these unnecessary matters. And they did not withhold with regard to an ayah or with regard to a hadith. Rather, they affirmed it and submitted to it and held it as their creed and belief, held what it contained as their creed and belief. And they never had any problems arise, ever. In these matters of creed and belief, companions, that was their way, and they never had any problems in this matter. So the matter is a matter requiring a taslim wal inqiyad, submission and compliance. And that we do not delve into matters of creed and belief in the way in which the people of disputation and the people of kalam, theological rhetoric, and the people of logic delved into it. Such that the result was as they themselves admitted regarding themselves, that they ended up in a state of bewilderment and confusion, and not reaching any result. As one of them said, وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طُولَ عُمْرِنَا إِلَّا أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِيهِ قِيلَ وَقَالٌ. As one of them admitted, we heard before the same quote, we didn't benefit anything from our studies throughout our whole lives, except in the end we just gathered idle speech. It was said and they said, and Sheikh al-Fawzan said, meaning so-and-so said and so-and-so said, and if he says such and such, then the response is such and such. That's all they ended up. Books filled with that. Books and minds filled with that. So-and-so said and he said, and if he says this, then you respond to him with that. And that's where we'll end. In the middle of the point there, we'll end explanation of this point. But just very briefly with regard to Sheikh Sahimi, hafidhullah, then he said here at this point, then he made clear that it is obligatory to describe Allah with that which he described himself with. Obligatory to describe Allah with the attributes that Allah described himself with. And that which his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described him with. Without tahrif, without distorting the meaning, without ta'til, without denying, depriving it of meaning, without takif, without saying how, and without tamthil, without likening the creator to the creation. In accordance with his saying, He the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. The same ayah from Surah Shura, with the explanation, there is nothing like him, there is nothing like Allah, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, the meaning, there is nothing like him, this is nafi, this is negation. And, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, with the meaning, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, this is ithbar, this is affirmation. And so this ayah is a proof for both of these, for negation of that which does not befit Allah, for affirmation of his attributes, and it contains a proof for al-ithbat al-mufassal wa al-nafi al-mujmal. Another important principle of the people of the Sunnah here, this same ayah contains a proof for detailed affirmation of attributes. Detailed affirmation. Affirmation of this attribute and this one and this one. Affirmation of a hand and a face and so on. Detailed affirmation. So just go back to what the Sheikh said. Sheikh Sahimi said, it contains a proof for detailed affirmation. Al-ithbat al-mufassal. And for an-nafi al-mujmal. And for general and concise negation. I mean, opposite to people in innovation. They hardly affirm anything for Allah, any attributes, you hardly see them. But they give long lists of things which are to be denied. Things which are to be denied for Allah. They give long, long lists. He is not this and he is not that. He's not this, he's not this, he's not this. So as the Shaykh said, while the people of the Sunnah, this ayah here is a proof for the way the people of the Sunnah, al-ithbat al-mufassal, detailed affirmation, and al-nafi al-mujmal, general and concise negation. Because his saying, He the Most High, laysa kamithlihi shay', there is nothing like him, this is a general and concise negation. It negates everything that can be imagined or can cross the mind. It negates all of that for Allah. And وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the hearing, the seeing. This is an affirmation in detail. This attribute, hearing, is affirmed. The attribute of seeing is affirmed in detail. And this ayah, the Shaykh said, is a tremendous principle with regard to affirming the attributes along with declaring Allah, the Exalted and Most High, free of whatever does not befit Him. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And just with regard to Thursday lesson, Riyadh Salihin, then Thursday lesson will be off, inshallah, and likewise the Monday lesson. But Thursday, as we know, is Yom Arafah, the day of Arafah. That's highly recommended to fast, the day of Arafah. As Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned in the hadith that occurs in Sahih Muslim, fasting the day of Arafah wipes away the sins of 2 years, the sin of the previous year and the next year. And that being the first of the days of Eid as well. Then, to give the people a rest, inshallah, so they can prepare for the next day, the day of sacrifice as well. Thursday lesson, next this Thursday lesson and the Monday lesson will not be on. Next lesson will be here with me, inshallah, will be next Thursday, inshallah. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم